on the second page, item number 3.
Okay.
Where it talks about
the minimum lot area.
Yeah, the minimum lot area required is 40,000 square feet.
Yes.
Further down in that paragraph, it says the new addition will not comply in that it will be 19.7 feet from the side yard. I think that really should say from the side property line.
Okay, I'll fix that.
And just as an aside, maybe for a future meeting, can we have a discussion about the minimum lot area of 40,000 square feet? Because the standard lots in Roosevelt are 20,000, so I'm wondering where the 40. I guess it's because it's an R40 zone, but I'd like to understand that better at some point.
It's just what the ordinance currently provides, and if you wanted to make a recommendation to change it, then you'd want to have the board review it and look at it in connection with, what the ordinance requires. I think your position is kind of contrary to what everybody was saying, unfortunately. They were saying this is an undersized lot. This is, as if it were different from, other properties in that area and stuff like that. So.
Right. Oh, it still would be. I'm just saying the 40,000 if that's what the code is saying. I'm just curious about that. So, yeah, I'll bring it up under new business later.
Yeah, at new business, exactly. That would be the way to do it.
Okay.
Is there anything else? I just have from the side property line. I changed that too. Is there anything else?
Not for me.
No.
Okay. Nope. And in the future, if you're reviewing a resolution and you want to add something, or you can email me, you can mark it up by hand, you can do whatever you want, and I can just, process those in advance.
Yep. Sorry.
Okay. That's all right. No problem.
Okay. So, now, is Kim back?
I'm back. For some reason, it's not wanting to send. So I'm still trying.
All right, let's do the following. Let's finish up this. Let's do this. Let's finish up the resolution. So do you have, Tim, you said that you have the vote on the roll call?
Yes.
So can you read that vote? Only those who voted in favor of denial vote on this resolution.
Okay, that would be Mayor Malkin.
Yes.
Let's see. Mr. Roman. He's absent.
Is he at, he's not on this meeting? Just call no. Those who are at the meeting and who voted.
Okay, Mr. Hartley.
Yes.
I think that's it.
Ms. Petrilla can't do it. Ms. Taylor.
I was there. And
you didn't vote. You did not vote. You were not.
I have only six. Six people voted, and it was Malcolm, Vohman, Hartley, Taylor, Connor, and Bondanis.
Okay, Mr. Connors?
He's not here tonight.
Okay.
Bondanis is,
I think that.
Yep, sorry. Yes.
Mr. Bondanis?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Oh, you came in later. Okay.
Yeah. All right, so that's three ayes for it, and two are absent that I know of. Let me say more. Jackie can't vote, so you have three ayes for it.
That's fine.
Okay.
Okay. And I recommend in the future, Kim, that when you prepare when you send the resolution on, you fill the first roll call in. Those who voted in favor of the action taken, you fill it in. That's that first roll call. And that way, when you go to call the roll call memorialization, you know who you have to call.
Okay, good.
Okay?
Oh, so, so which were the three that we got tonight, then?
You,
me, and Jay.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Hartley, Ms. Malcolm, and Mr. Bondonis.
I'm sorry, who was the second one?
I said Mayor Malkin, Tim Malcolm. Hartley, and Mr. Bondonis.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. And we have to vote on the resolution appointing the board secretary to be responsible for administrative completeness and administrative officer Carmela Roberts to be responsible for deeming final completeness on variance applications. That was down under resolutions. Do we have to vote on that?
Yes, you already did.
We do. Okay. Kim, if you want to take a roll call vote.
Do we need a motion and a second first?
Yes, you do.
A motion.
Combine the motion. You can make this a motion to approve the resolution. You already voted to do this, so you're just. I'm going to take back what I said. I'm sorry. You don't need a motion to just memorialize it. You just need to call the roll call for the people again who voted the last. Well, there were people who voted the last time in favor of this. If we know who they are, and I think that you're going to end up having the only additional person will be Ms. Carpenter, because everybody else is absent. Okay. You're going to have Carpenter, Hartley, and you can have Ms. Petrillo, Ms. Orr. Now you can't. You weren't there. You didn't vote on it. So Ms. Petrillo, you voted on that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all you have to do.
I think Mr. Neerath also.
He's not here.
I'm here.
Yeah, he's on the meeting.
Oh, but you weren't. Oh, you didn't vote on that. You weren't there at the other meeting. Okay, I get it. So you get anybody who voted on the night that the board made the decision to do this can vote on this.
Okay. I could not vote on that because I was 200 feet from the house, right?
Alan, we're on the next resolution, appointing a board secretary.
Can't hear you, Peggy.
So were you at the last meeting, Alan? You were there, right?
Or no?
Wait, that was the last
meeting. Let's just stop. Please. Okay.
That's the last meeting?
The board secretary should be telling you who can vote on this.
Okay.
But to make life a little bit, we may have to go over the whole thing all over again if you wanted people to vote on this who didn't vote on it when it was considered. So that's all I'm saying. So
now let's just have everybody who voted on it the first time vote tonight.
I didn't understand. I didn't hear that. What did you say?
I just said let's have everyone who voted the last time vote tonight. If that's all right with everyone, rather than starting all over again.
I actually do have the vote here. The ayes, Ms. Carpenter, Ms. Malkin, Mr. Roman, Mr. Hartley, Ms. Petrillo, Ms. Taylor, Mr. Connors, Mr. Neurath, and Mr. Bondonis.
Okay, so you can take the roll. Good.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear whoever said what.
No, I just said good. We can take the roll. The roll call.
Ms. Carpenter?
Yes.
Ms. Malkin?
Yes.
Mr. Hartley?
Yes.
Ms. Petrillo?
Yes.
Mr. Neurath?
Yes.
Mr. Bondonis?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. The oath of office are suspended, so we have an in-person meeting. So our next is the approval of minutes of the May 5th meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. I'm sorry, who was the second?
Allison. Patrol.
Okay. Ms. Carpenter?
Yes.
Ms. Malkin?
Yes.
Mr. Hartley?
Yes.
Ms. Ord?
Yes.
Ms. Petrillo?
Yes.
Mr. Connors isn't here, right? Mr. Neurath?
Yes.
And Mr. Bondonis?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody? Okay.
Okay, I'm just lost, my screen froze up. All right, we're now on to correspondence. And in correspondence included was sent out to you the that on 3/30/20, on 3/3/20, we sent the COD ordinance, which was ordinance 2007, to the council. And we got a letter from our borough clerk, Kathleen Hart, saying on May 14th, saying that the copy of the ordinance was sent to the borough attorney. Then we got an email from Lori Mayer, who's our deputy clerk, and it was introduced at the May 26, 2020 council meeting. The second reading and public hearing will be on June 22, 2020. The council review and vote will be on July 8, 2020. And since we didn't get the changes, it wouldn't be sent. So we'll have to wait until they can be sent to us.
Or, well, you only have 35 days to do the review, unless the council decides to extend the period of time. We'll give you an extension of time. From what I understand from Kim that, I didn't see the changes, but I think they're very, they're very minor changes, but I don't want to necessarily, I didn't look at them myself. So, the planning board has 35 days once it is referred to it to make any comments that it has. So you're going to have to have another meeting if you're not going to be able to do it tonight. Okay.
I am trying to still get it out.
Would it be possible for Kim to just read us the highlighted changes since we all have a copy of the original one?
I have no problem with that.
Does anyone else have a problem with that?
No.
No.
Sounds good.
Do you want me to try to just send it right now to see if you guys get it or not? Do you want me to read it? I'll do that.
Why don't we just, are there a lot of changes, Kim, for you to read?
Not really.
Okay, why don't you just read it and then we can deal with this tonight.
All right.
Is that all right with you?
So it's yes, that's fine. It's really changes such as where we have something like ordinance amending and supplement. Well, they have we have ordinance of the borough of Roosevelt amending and supplementing. They just have little things like an ordinance amending and supplementing the zoning ordinances, and then the rest of it is the same of the borough code. It's really just like language that they use for the ordinances that we didn't use in our copy of the ordinance. So that was just the title. Then we have whereas, and we have they added, instead of just the borough, they added of Roosevelt, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey, and then in quotes, the borough. And then the next line, wherever we use something like, for instance, we used whereas the Zoning Planning Board has recommended that the borough adopt regulations addressing such, when we used storage containers, they used pods. And that's basically what the entire change is about, is where we use units, they use pods. They're consistent, whereas our ordinance is not consistent as far as that's concerned. That's the only change on the first page, except for, like I said again, something that they put in the ordinance is that we don't. So it says, now therefore be it ordained by the mayor and council of the borough of Roosevelt, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey, that the zoning ordinances of the borough code shall be amended and supplemented as follows. And then it says, stricken text indicates deletions, underlined text indicates additions. So then there's a part about general regulations. I passed over that because that wasn't part of it. Water and sewer requirements and cross-references.
Am I really stupid? I'm sorry, but that wasn't in the ordinance, all that water sewer, because I did the ordinance.
Right.
It's not in the water sewer. She's reading from a different section.
Oh, okay, yeah, because it says, colon, here's the amended pod ordinance, and then it goes on to water and sewer.
It does, because it's the section. It's the section of the ordinance that this pod will be codified into. That's what I.
Oh, okay, got it. Oh, sorry.
I was confused by that too. I think that was just because they wanted to give the whole context of it.
So where it says placement, they added to the beginning of that in the R40, R100, and the RAG400 districts, a portable storage container, and then the rest of it is the same, may be placed on an existing off-street driveway, et cetera, until you get to the word street as is practical. It says as practicable. Then the next one where it says it may not be placed in the front yard, they spelled out the portable storage container. And that is the same change that is made all through this paragraph, as well as the practicable one, and that ends placement. Then we're on the size. Excuse me, they added permitted size. And then they, again, changed anything that you said, the structure. They put no portable storage container may exceed A, and it's the same thing, maximum height of 10 feet or maximum width of 8 feet or maximum length of 20 feet. Then under fees and permits, it says to place a storage container, a portable storage container, in the R40, R100, or RAG400 districts. That's what was changed. The rest of it is the same, except for when you used, for instance, let me see, fees and permits. When you use the word it for the unit, it changed. It was changed to portable storage containers. For time, same thing. Portable storage containers, where you put either it or unit. That's the only thing that was changed. There's a little paragraph at the bottom about there's a fine for structures out of compliance. They changed that whole thing and restructured it under enforcement. Any person, firm, or corporation who shall violate any of the provisions of this section, in addition to any other penalties for violations of other applicable code provisions, shall, upon conviction, be punished in accordance with Section 11.700. That's the only change. The last page is completely a change because they put in extra language that they needed for that ordinance, be it further ordained, that should any section, paragraph, sentence, clause, or phase of this ordinance be declared unconstitutional or invalid for any reason, the remaining portion of this ordinance shall not be affected thereby and shall remain in full force and effect. And to that end, the provisions of this ordinance are hereby declared to be severable, and be it further ordained that after introduction, the borough clerk is hereby directed to submit a copy of the within ordinance to the Planning Zoning Board of the Borough of Roosevelt for its review in accordance with NJSA 40:55D-26 and NJSA 40:55D-64. The Planning Board is directed to make and transmit to the Borough's Mayor and Council within 35 days after referral a report including identification of any provisions in proposed ordinance which are inconsistent with the Master Plan and recommendations concerning any inconsistencies and any other matter as the Board deems appropriate. Be it further ordained that this ordinance shall take effect immediately upon 1, adoption, 2, publication in accordance with the laws of the State of New Jersey, and 3, filing of the final form of adopted ordinance by the clerk with the Monmouth County Planning Board pursuant to NJSA 40:55D-16, and be it further ordained that all ordinances or parts of ordinances inconsistent with this amending ordinance are hereby repealed to the extent of their inconsistencies only. And then there's a public notice. Please take notice that the foregoing ordinance was introduced and passed on first reading on the 26th day of May 2020 at a meeting of the Mayor and Council of the Borough of Roosevelt and will be taken up for final consideration and passage at a scheduled meeting of the Mayor and Council of the Borough of Roosevelt to be held on the 22nd day of June 2020 at the Municipal Building, 33 North Rochdale Avenue, Roosevelt, New Jersey. And it's signed by Kathleen Hart, our borough clerk. And that's it.
Thank you.
Wow.
I have one comment. I don't know if you want to get to discussing it now or...
That is fun.
Kim or Jackie, who do we?
Yes. If you have anything, now would be the time to bring it up.
Okay. Because this is part of the content that has me just a little questioning. Under the placement portion of it, the middle of the paragraph reads, the portable storage container may not be placed in the front yard except on a driveway or on the public right-of-way. I think we need to insert the words in front of the public right-of-way, the driveway portion of the, because the way it reads now, I'm thinking it could be interpreted that you can either place the pod in the driveway or anywhere in the public right-of-way, which would mean along the whole front of your property. The public right-of-way is generally about 10 feet width from the curb, something like that. But I think the intent was it goes just within the portion of your driveway that extends out into the public right-of-way.
I think that might be for places. I remember us discussing that some of the driveways are too short for a storage container, and perhaps that's to meet their needs, because there are several on Tamara, several on Rochdale,
and the courts.
And the courts. Yep. The driveway would not accommodate a pod.
That's the intent of the last sentence. In the event that the driveway does not accommodate a portable storage container of any size available, the zoning officer may approve a location, et cetera, et cetera. But the sentence that I was referring to sounds like it gives permission to put the pod anywhere along the public right-of-way, which is the entire front yard portion. I don't think that was...
I think also some of the driveways are short, or maybe if parking is an issue and they have to park their car, maybe that's the only place they could put the pod so they can get it in and out on some houses.
Yes, I understand that there are some houses that may need that permission, but this sentence opens that possibility up to anyone. It gives permission to put, as I read it, it gives permission to put the pod anywhere along the front of your property inboard of the curb, because you're then in the public right-of-way.
I understand what you're saying, Tim.
Words, the driveway portion of the public right-of-way, so that it's clear it's just the extension out to the front, not all the way across the front of your property.
I understand what you're saying, Tim.
I'm sorry, I cannot hear what you're saying.
I said I understand what Tim is saying.
Oh.
So
was the intent by everybody who voted on it that it was only that the pod would be on the person's property?
You mean on the driveway or the property?
Yeah, and not in, you know, the right-of-way. Are we saying we don't want it anywhere in the right-of-way? We want the pod definitely on a person's property? I mean, I don't remember. I thought we had it sort of open, but Tim's bringing it up. Either we should be able to let them put it on the right-of-way or only on the property. And maybe it needs clarification.
Well, let me just tell you again what it says on here, because I didn't read the whole thing. I just read you some of the changes we had. So it says, in the R40, R100, and RAG400 districts, a portable storage container may only be placed on an existing off-street driveway at the location furthest from the street as practicable. The portable storage container may not be placed in the front yard except on a driveway or on the public right-of-way.
I've rented one of those, and they made it very, very clear that it had to go in your driveway.
That should not be the thing that you consider. You've got to consider, what does the ordinance say on its face? There are many different pod operators. They may not all have the same approach to that. So what you're being asked to do right now is, number one, the council doesn't have to adopt exactly what you sent them, but you do want to comment back so that you think that this ordinance is effectively doing what you want. So we need to kind of clarify the issue because it's getting to be, if I can't understand it, then I don't know, maybe maybe I'm the only one, but as I understand, there seems to be some issue, and it's very difficult with Kim reading it to me. I can't quite follow the transmission of the sound is a little off and stuff like that. So the first thing is this, is if anyone can remember explicitly what it is that you sent over to the borough council and where these pods were supposed to be placed. And it seemed to me that from what the text that Kim, I couldn't hear Kim, but in listening to Tim Hartley's concern, I think that there seems to be some discrepancy here and you need to really resolve it. So that is the pod allowed to be placed in the public right-of-way?
I think not. Right, Tim? It's just
the driveway.
Yeah, well,
maybe
it's clear if we think about it that a typical driveway, most of it is on the person's property. But for the portion of the driveway that extends forward from the property line to the curb, that is the public right-of-way. You have to maintain it if it's your driveway, but that's still the public right-of-way. So I think either we should say except on a driveway or within the driveway portion of the public right-of-way, or just leave that out altogether. Because if you just strike out that last little bit, it says a container may not be placed in the front yard except on a driveway, period. Because if you leave the rest of that... it's opening it up to them being placed right along the curb.
Yeah. In the yard. Tim is right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got the ordinance up the way we wrote it, and it said it may not be. Oh crap! My computer's doing weird stuff. But anyway, it says it can't be placed in the on the public right of way.
Can't.
Yeah, it says it may not be placed in the front yard except on a driveway or on the public right of way.
Well, you see, that's the confusion. Yeah, now you're reading that language. That text sounds like something is wrong there.
Yeah, that's
you're
that's
reading now that it can be placed in the public right of way. Is that the one that the council changed, or is that the one that
this is my original?
Because we'll be here until 3 o'clock in the morning. You got to kind of focus on the issue. So in the ordinance that the planning board sent over to the council, did it allow a pod to be placed in the right-of-way at any portion of the right-of-way? Well, it's my understanding that the pod would only be
the driveway portion of the right-of-way, but not in any public right-of-way.
Well, they didn't change that at all. It's the same exact way, except for the wording of the pods or units. So that is the way that we had it in the original ordinance. We sent it to the council that way. They sent it back to us the same exact way.
Yes, I have
then
it here.
Where did Tim get? I thought I heard this. I'm having a difficult time. It's like I have a very bad echo that I'm getting, so it's hard for me to hear everything. I'm just trying to, Tim, you heard something that said something about did you interpret something that Kim read about the ordinance that the council modified? Did you hear that it would be a place to pod in the public right of way? Tim?
Wait, I'm sorry. Is that addressed to me?
Yes, Tim. Yes, Tim Hartley.
Yes.
You're the one who raised this issue.
Yes. Am I coming through with a big echo? Because part of that could be because I have my side monitor on. You can hear me okay?
You're not echoing to me.
Okay.
You're fine with me.
Right. Yeah,
Tim's okay. I can't hear Kim.
I just think
I'm having a hard time with.
I just think that second sentence, has a confusion built into it, and that it would be clearer if we just cropped off the sentence saying may not be placed in the front yard except in a driveway.
Can I try to understand? Okay, here's what I want to try to understand. This is confusing to me because I don't have the document in front of me. Did the council, when they rewrote this ordinance and whatever changes they made, change where the pod could be located with respect to the right of way?
No.
Does anybody know?
No. I have the original pod ordinance that, they did not change it according to what Kim read. And we did have it just that way.
All right. So nevertheless, so this is something that the board allowed, that it didn't really pick up this this ambiguity or something that Tim Hartley is now referring to.
Correct. We missed it.
Where the parentheses are. I'm sorry. I see it now. I'm sorry to interrupt, because it says it must. It may not be placed in the front yard, parentheses, except on a driveway, end parentheses, or on the public right of way. Means it may not be placed in the front yard, parentheses, and then or on the public right of way.
So it should say you want to go back to council and say, or in the driveway portion of the public right-of-way, as a clarification. Is that right?
We had it reading that it can't be on the public right-of-way.
No. I understand that the...
And the only way in the front yard is on a driveway.
And I understand. Remember something, I don't know. That public right of way, I think, is in there. That's the way we sent it to the council. And
yes.
I believe that was because of the short driveways where they won't accommodate a pod. So those people would have to put it on the right of way. That's the only place.
Regardless, not the driveway portion of the right of way. You're saying any place on the right of way.
Well, if it went from their driveway.
That's what we're trying to clear up. That's all this is about.
Okay.
So right. If you wanted them to just park it right in front of the street, you have pretty narrow streets. I mean, I don't know. Is that really what you wanted? And plus, this is, I don't really know what the parking is. It's always been very confusing to me about parking on the streets in Roosevelt. So you thought what the issue is here, do you want to say the ordinance would allow parking of putting this pod on any portion of the public right-of-way as it extends the full length of the property, frontage of the property, or do you want to say that, as Tim has clarified, in the driveway portion of the public right-of-way? So that area where you have that apron, you have like an apron, and it's where the driveway joins the street.
Yes.
That's what this is all about.
Do we need a vote on this? Because I think originally we didn't see that. And I think Tim really picked up that, and that we did not want it on the public right of way. But
right. We didn't want it on the right of way at all. That's the way
what
I originally read.
Also. And I think Tim has clarified it. So I would go along with on the private driveway portion of the public right-of-way, maybe making that clarification, and that would end that problem.
Sounds good.
Tim,
what's
the author of the letter that you should read?
Can I read what I have from what Tim said? Because I think it maybe
yes.
It will resolve this. Is that all right
with
you, Tim?
Yep.
Okay. So where it says that it can be placed on the property, but not in the front yard, except in a driveway or in the driveway portion of the public right of way.
Right.
Yes.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
So what you want to do then is, this can be done by a simple letter to the council relaying this requested change. So we just need to decide who's going to send that letter to the council providing this information. Recognizing that from May 26th, you have 35 days. So, that's what you have, 35 days to do this report back. Can you do that? You're asking me, Mayor?
No, I was actually.
I'll be glad to do it if you'd like me to.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I'll do that.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, so that's taken care of. All right.
Okay.
I will send it on.
Oh, I can't wait till we go back to real in-person meetings.
Well, this is very difficult. This is a hard way to do business. It's very hard. You know, you don't know who's talking, and the chair really can't be the chair. I mean, it's hard. It's so terrible. Yeah. It's very difficult. So.
And I just got a phone call, which of course I didn't answer, but it sort of threw me off of Zoom, and I was so afraid to mess around with my phone to get back, but I actually was able to. So.
I have one question, maybe, or comment about the pod ordinance. It seems that in my original copy, we didn't put in the zones. And in the copy you read, you said the R40 zone and the AG zone?
Yeah, agriculture, yeah.
Right. How many zones do we have? We have four, don't we? So it's only four or
R40? R40, 100. All right.
Yeah. Oh, I'm having a terrible feedback right now. Something's going on. I don't know what's going on.
Can I tell everyone that I'm just getting turned on my phone?
I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
I can't
Did
hear you.
Did everyone
hear
that?
Excuse me? I'm
getting on my phone, but
we're
under a tornado
watch. Yeah, that just came through a while ago. Yeah. Okay. So, Michelle, you're going to send the letter to council?
Yes, but someone raised another question. The question that was raised by Ms. Ord was, what zones does this apply? It was my understanding that it would apply to all zones, and that was how the planning board addressed it. According to what I think I heard, okay, I'm not sure, but I think I heard, that this ordinance says R40 and something else. I'm not sure what the other one was.
R100, R40, and RAG400.
Or what are we leaving out?
Well, it's really only the residential zones that we're concerned with. So that covers those. Well, and the AG. It's not the only stuff that's left out is the commercial and the, that's it, really, the C40. The R40,
this doesn't apply.
Right. So
the
three areas that can contain residences are the R40, R100, and RAG400.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
All right. Are there any more questions about pod things, pod ordinance?
Can I throw this little? I don't want to hold up the meeting. I don't want any, throwing any glitches. I'm just curious. This doesn't address dumpsters in any way. Construction dumpsters.
No, it does not address dumpsters. It's adjustable hot demand storage units. That was how it was initially presented. That was what was apparently a concern. So dumpsters are another issue. They're not temporary storage units. They're not portable storage units.
Right. So are there any state regulations that we could adhere to? Or if we wanted to address dumpsters, we'd have to institute an entire new resolution?
I think that I would do it as a separate issue and not try to throw it into this. It took you about, I think, over a year and a half or 2 hours, years to get this pod ordinance to this stage. So if you go and start adding dumpsters in, you know, I might not be around anymore. But I would just leave it, you know, this way. Take it a step at a time. And a dumpster is really a different issue. And I think it has different ramifications. There are no state laws about dumpsters, local, no. You know, and it, so I would say that I would, if you want to address that in the future, then that's something else that you could do. But
okay, yes, because we are having a problem. We have some properties where dumpsters have been there for over a year, going on 2 years.
I don't know if you have something in your ordinance. Did anybody look to see if there's anything in your existing ordinance? I can't hear that. Whatever who said that, I didn't understand a word.
I asked our code enforcement officer if he didn't say anything that specifically addressed dumpsters.
Okay, so what the general rule is, and I'm pretty certain that Roosevelt has a clause of this nature. The general rule is, unless something is permitted, it is prohibited. So that's the general rule. Now, there's always this big issue in zoning, temporary structures. Many municipalities have adopted pod ordinances because they can stay for a long time. And there seems to be, there's just no definitive case law on whether or not something is a temporary structure and therefore we don't need to worry about it. So, you know what I mean? Right. We can let it stay. It's a big, huge hole. So dumpsters may fall into that category, but you don't have a property maintenance ordinance in town?
No, we do.
All right. Well, that's enforcement. Okay. So what I think would be beneficial is, for the code enforcement officer, you have a zoning code enforcement officer, right? Does both.
Yes.
I would have him look at the property maintenance code, and if that property maintenance code does not have something in there of assistance in this regard, then the next thing the planning board could do, and it's really not a land use ordinance, but the planning board has traditionally been kind of addressing things that are not really land use. So I would look at the property maintenance ordinance, see what's in there, and then if you think that we need to do something, then you put it on the agenda, and they can begin to address what to do with the dumpster in terms of the length of time it would stay there, et cetera.
Good.
Okay,
thank you.
That help? This, you're welcome.
It's going on 2 years, so.
Okay.
All right.
I'm having such a hard time hearing everybody. I'm so sorry. It's very difficult.
Can we adjourn? Do we have anything else we have to do?
We didn't have
there's a few more things here.
Yeah. Mayor Malkin, your report.
Okay.
Basically, we've been having the council Zoom meetings, so they've been pretty abbreviated. We discussed the different road work that's going on in town and the grants that we've been given to do road work in the future. We're going to be doing water main and sewer replacement and repaving of Farm Lane and School Lane, and then after that, half of Point Drive. And there's been a lot of discussion about the tree situation in town. I think, as most of you know, we're having an issue with many, many property owners clear cutting their trees, as well as we had a huge, I guess I'll call it controversy, with JCP&L and their subcontractor, Davies Trees, who came in basically without informing the government, you know, without informing us, without any kind of permission, without anything, just coming in and taking down not only every tree that they deemed a possible hazard as far as bringing the wires down, you know, in a storm, wind, but they also went knocked on property owners' doors and asked anyone if they wanted any trees down at all. They were given a grant to take trees down, and so they did a lot of work on people's on people's properties. If someone said, "Yeah, could you take that tree down for me?" That's nowhere near the power lines or the wires. They just took them down. So between many new people coming into town and clear cutting, and then Davies and JCP&L coming in and taking down all our trees, we lost hundreds of trees in the last few weeks. So we again are returning to wanting to put in a pretty stringent tree ordinance. Most people in town, you know, this is a rural agrarian community. People live here because they chose to live in an agrarian community in the country, in a rural area, and they have that expectation of having trees. And so I was in talks with JCP&L for quite a while about not having a repeat of this ever. And we do, I'm getting calls all the time from residents who are, most of the residents who are upset about the trees coming down. So I've asked Michelle and Gail Hunting to craft a tree ordinance. The council, we've done this a few times in the past couple of years, and then we sort of let it slide, but it's becoming a real problem now. And so we looked at a few different tree ordinances. I think we'd like to copy Rumson's. They have a pretty stringent tree ordinance. It means hiring a professional arborist for when there's a question about whether, you know, when a property owner wants to take a tree down, the arborist would come and determine whether or not, you know, it's any kind of a hazard or a safety factor. And if not, if it meets certain specifications for height and diameter, it either would be or would not be permitted to be taken down. But I think that given the number of residence calls that I've gotten and what went on here lately with the tree cutting and JCP&L, it's just we've lost many, many, many trees, which we all know harbor wildlife. You know, it's part of our nature here. And so we would like to have this tree ordinance passed as well, crafted and passed as soon as possible. So that's also taken up a lot of council discussion. And lastly, okay, so, I'll just say that unfortunately, you know, we had to cancel summer camp this summer for the kids, and also our 4th of July picnic is canceled. So it's possible that at the end of the summer, our recreation director, Eric Schubiger, may be able to put together a very, very short summer camp, if possible, if it's feasible. And also, again, if it's possible, maybe we have an outdoor celebration in early fall, you know, before it gets too cold, some kind of, because you know, everyone misses the 4th of July picnic, but they both had to be canceled this year, camp and the picnic. And I'm sure I'm forgetting something crucial.
Okay, so
at this time.
Okay, so on the tree removal, the borough council introduced an ordinance in 2019.
Right.
And it never went anywhere. And so, you know, there's a,
because it was near the end of the year, composition.
Okay, so my recommendation to you is, here's my recommendation, okay? I don't know why we should go and recreate an entirely new ordinance. This ordinance looks like somebody put a considerable amount of thought into, and it prohibits removal of specimen trees, the removal of trees with a trunk diameter of 6 inches or larger, measured at breast height, which is the standard. I mean, the size of the tree is not standard, but the type of measurement is. Removal of ornamental trees, clear cutting. So that is something that is specifically already adopted. So I'm going to suggest, Kim, go get, you can go right on the borough's website if anybody wants to just do it themselves. It was Ordinance 2019-06, and it was a tree protection. And I would say that you should start from there instead of recreating the whole wheel all over again, because it looks like somebody put a fair amount of thought into this.
And then there may be things there. I know, Tim, you have, Tim Hartley, you have, don't you, aren't you like a landscape architect? Isn't that what your job is?
I'm an architect, architect.
Yeah. Architect, architect. Okay, but I just think you should get some.
Kate John Alder is a landscape architect.
Okay, but you already have it, you already have this ordinance introduced. So what I would suggest that you do is you look at this ordinance. It was introduced in 2019. Why would you reschedule this? Why would you just not look at the same ordinance that somebody put a fair amount of effort into? Now, the only other thing that the, you know, so that's my first recommendation. You look at ordinance 2019-06 and let the planning board look at it. Now, the planning board is only, from a legal point of view, on the, you know, it's a land use body, but there are provisions in the law that, you know, you could do such other advisory, you know, functions, you know, as are desirable. So I would suggest that you distribute this ordinance, because I don't know, I never saw it, and I don't know if any of you did. So distribute the ordinance 19-06 and put your comments in. Now, what I want to make sure you understand, there are, when tree ordinances are adopted, they're adopted under two different powers that municipalities have. They are often adopted under what we call the police power. This ordinance 2019-06 regulates people regardless of whether or not they're coming to the planning board. This is just, you know, the removal of trees. And I just don't, I don't want to disappoint you, but I also want to tell you that you may end up finding that there is significant difficulty in trying to have any of these ordinances apply to the public utility. Okay. Just so that you know. Okay. Yeah. But that's the first place to start. So that would prevent people from just removing trees. All right. Without getting this application approved, there's all kinds of things in here. So I just think you ought to take a look at this first. Okay. And let's start from that. That's step one. Then if somebody applies to the planning board for an application, okay, then in that instance, you put land use restrictions on the removal of trees and on what has to be shown. So there's usually requirements put in the checklist for completeness, you know, to identify the trees, the tree surface, so you know what's there. And then there are restrictions against, you know, against just destroying them. You have to try to relocate buildings to maximize saving of the trees. And if you're going to run into this any place, you're going to run into it at that swim club.
Right.
So, okay, so I would just start with that. And the next meeting you have, if everybody, perhaps in advance of the meeting, and if we're still doing it this way, you know, this remote thing, you can see how difficult it is because you can't see somebody. You don't know who's talking. It's easy to interrupt. Yeah. I just find it's a very difficult way to try to do something. But, you know, you could edit, make a series. Everybody can make their own little comments about it. And then I could put together for you an ordinance that would say, number one, when you file an application for development, here's what you have to do in terms of showing the trees on the site,
right,
and what you need to do to try to save them. And that would be the land use piece of it. This is just a general police power regulation.
Right.
Michelle, I think that we probably swim club.
I'm sorry.
I think the swim club won't be timely because the swim club has been sold. And I believe that the people are fairly soon building a house.
Okay, well, all I'm trying to say, I'm just saying that there is
an
application that may be coming before the board. Who knows? I don't know what they plan on doing over there, but that would be a situation where if there are a lot of trees over there and you want to try to save them, you want to know where they were and how you could rearrange and something, you would be able to know. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm using it as an example, not to use an ordinance to target on that site. It just simply gives you an opportunity. To you know, it's an example that I'm presenting.
So
we should put on the agenda for our next meeting reviewing the original tree ordinance.
The ordinance that I just, when you say the original, it was never adopted.
Right.
It was introduced in 2019.
Yeah.
There was never, they had a public hearing scheduled according to the information. This is on the borough's website.
Yeah, well.
I looked up that meeting, so I remember, but the war ended.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. I'm sorry. So, but why would we start all over again? We don't need to recreate the wheel. Okay. I see there's some things in here that would need to be changed, like they don't have the right zones listed. But, you know, there are things that could be changed, have to be changed, but mm-hmm. at least it gives you a starting point that has been through mm-hmm. some process.
Right.
Okay.
What did you say would have to be changed? What?
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand that. What was that?
No, I asked you, what did you say, the one thing you saw that would be changed or could be changed?
It refers to the number of trees. I don't want to get into too much detail in it, okay?
Yeah,
I'm really sorry to interrupt. This is Allison. I have to go. My husband's really ill. Bye-bye.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Okay.
All right, look.
Okay.
Let's do this. Let's not try to get into the body of this because it's too frustrating with this. I can't even.
Yeah.
I think, Peggy, your voice is coming across really terrible to me. I don't know if it is to anybody else.
No,
All right, look, why don't we do this? It's ordinance 19-06, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Distribute the ordinance among the planning board members. Ask planning board members to write questions, comments, et cetera. And then at the next mm-hmm. meeting, we can go over all of the issues with respect to this ordinance.
Okay.
Can you do that? Can you distribute it?
I think you.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
I asked Kim if she could distribute it to the planning board members.
Yes, I absolutely can. I don't know. There is something wrong with your audio, Peggy. I can't hear you very well either.
I know.
No. I hear everyone else perfectly. I don't know what's wrong.
It's mm-hmm. like in and out.
Okay. Yeah, I'm missing every other word, and it's very, even the words that are in are like a big echo to me.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
As my sister would say, you sound like you're in the bottom of a fishbowl.
All right, let's try to wrap this up.
Okay. Peggy, is that all you had, Mayor Malkin?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Hartley, do you have anything?
Just the reporting that we had an EC meeting on May 20th, but there was no particular planning board related issues discussed, so no real report now.
All right, thank you very much. We're on to we don't have any plans. Okay, old business, is there anything anyone has? All right, new business. I wondered, I don't know now if this is going to change because of the distribution of this tree ordinance, and I was going to say, if we didn't have anything, would everyone want to cancel the July meeting? But now if we have the ordinance, then we should have the July meeting.
I leave it up to you. You know, let me say this, that, all right, so you know that as a board, you can't communicate electronically unless it's at a meeting where you have more than what would be considered an effective majority of the board, because it would be a violation of the Open Public Meetings Act. But on the other hand, if each board member were to take that tree ordinance, look at it, make comments on it, send them to me, okay? I can assemble the comments and get a memo out, and then people can decide what it is that they, you know, want to do with July. It may be that we don't have the information by then, and we'll have to put it into August. So I would wait until we see how the comments on this 2019 ordinance pan out. And I would not have time between now and July to do the land use piece.
Uh-huh.
That is the completeness to show it. You want to see it on the plan, and you want to try to put in something that would really require people to
if they're planting an addition and they have a beautiful specimen tree or something, you may want to be certain that that tree is preserved, and they just try to rearrange how they do it. That's the idea of it.
Right. So, will we catch that, did you think, or we'll just...
I'm sorry, what was that?
You think that's good with everyone, Jackie, that we could just read the ordinance and send our comments to Michelle and to, you know, put it off for now, not have a July meeting?
I can't, I'm going to just let you know this. I cannot write an ordinance between now and July. I am absolutely up to my ears with work. So
right,
I wouldn't
so,
be able to give you, and I think you should just get everything together at once.
Mm-hmm.
And so if anybody has any ordinances that they know of, that they'd like to look at, and I'll give you a little bit of time to do it. And I know you're losing trees in the meantime, but it sounds to me like most of them were caused by PSE&G, and I think you're going to have a problem with that, because that's the public right-of-way, and they have the easement.
So I would say it was 50-50. Half the new residents and half PSE&G, I mean, not PSE, JCP&L.
So the other thing that you may want to do, since you already have this ordinance that was drafted back in 2019, and like a pretty good ordinance, looking at it, you know, quickly. And I, you know, I was surprised because the mayor had asked me to work on this. I started working on it, and I said, "Gee, anything like this?" And I went on the borough website and I found it. So,
yeah.
You know, you've got an ordinance there already that I think is really where you want to start. You could just look at that ordinance, and there can be, you know, mayor, you can just look at the ordinance. Let's get this ordinance. Let's get this ordinance on the council, get it reintroduced. And then while it's pending between that, when the council, then the planning board could perhaps make some comments to it.
Okay, we can do that, because certainly the council's not, you know, the council has to meet every 2 weeks. So, you know, that's a sooner than the planning board. So we could
mm-hmm.
reintroduce that. I think we have everyone on board with that on the council.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then
that sounds
in
cool.
The meantime, Kim could send out the ordinance, or we could look that up and then give our comments to you, Michelle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And just for you to know this, I'm an old fashioned tree hugger. Okay. I really could not work on this ordinance between now and I'm going into a whole series of scheduled meetings on a very big case. So I am just up to my ears.
All right. That's understandable.
So
okay.
I can't. So if you feel there's an urgency, the solution may be to just go right back to the council, do a couple of the polish up things, because it's really not a planning board ordinance. It's not a land use ordinance.
Yeah.
So the planning board doesn't have to review it, but the council, you know, you have a good working relationship with the council and you could
know,
work it out. I mean, it looks to me like there's just one technical issue that wasn't addressed correctly.
Yeah. I think Gail Hunton had thought it was best gone through the planning board, but, you know, we can definitely just bring it right back to the council and ask the planning board for guidance or some, you know, input.
Input. Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Michelle, someone in town, that's their email address, Tree Hugger.
Yeah, Tree Hugger. Who has that one?
So
woman
in town has that for her email.
Yeah.
Okay. Most of us are pretty upset at what's happening. So.
All right.
Okay.
So that was old business, new business. Is there any public comment? In public? No?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then I move to adjourn the June 3rd, 2020 meeting at 8:09.
Well, you have to ask for a motion to adjourn,
oh,
Jackie.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Who was that?
June.
And who was second?
June was second.
Yeah, Tim and
Tim
June.
Was
Tim
first.
And June.
Got it. Okay.
All right. This meeting of the June 3rd Planning Board Borough Roosevelt Planning Board meeting is adjourned at 8:10.
Okay, just so that you know, there was a motion and a second.
Okay.
You have to call for a vote, and you can do it by voice vote. The motion is made, and then you say, all in favor.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Meeting is adjourned.
All right. We made it through another one.
Yeah.
Let's hope the next all right. All right. Very good.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone. Goodbye now. Stay safe.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.